You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here is your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
Good Monday morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek in Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings in Norman, Oklahoma. You're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network from Monday, April 6th, episode 3920, brought to you today by Worm Flooring. Good morning, horse people.
Well, good morning, everybody. Natalie's going to join us. She's host of Adulting with Horses and also an author. Well, she was an author first and then did the hosting thing second. But she has a brand new book out called The Jump, and I've seen her everywhere. I've seen people commenting on the book everywhere, and apparently it's pretty good. We're going to hear about that. We're going to hear about a new helmet company you're going to start hearing a lot about out of England called Evoke. I interviewed him at WESA, and he has the most lovely British accent, so I think you're all going to enjoy that one. This day in equine history takes us on the first presidential motorcade, and we have your equestrian first world problems for April. Were there any problems? I posted this morning, but...
We're never without problems, Glenn.
Which brings us to the post show. We're going to talk about how being human is so repetitive. That just hit me this weekend, so we're going to talk about that. But first, I have some programming notes. There is going to be, Jamie and I will be here Monday and Wednesday, and then Ashley and Allison are taking over with three special Equine Affair episodes, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So you get Saturday and Sunday shows this weekend, hosted by Ashley and Allison. I'll be editing them here at home. So you can look forward to those. Also, apparently, I don't know if I made this mistake or it was on there wrong, but if you're going to the meetup at Equine Affair at the Cheesecake Factory, I'll put a link again in the show notes to that. You should sign up because they make reservations, but it's at 6 o'clock on Friday night, not 6:30. So I wanted to make that clear. Also, on the weather front, I know you've probably heard that it's apparently there's going to be a super El Nino this year. Don't ask me.
Oh my God, I don't want any more weather.
Good. I don't want to totally depress you, but I was depressed after I read it. I was happy and depressed for us here, actually. But what that means is, and apparently it's shaping up right now. So in the Pacific Northwest, you'll be exceptionally hot and dry with an elevated risk of wildfires. So there you go. California in the Southwest is going to have bipolar weather. So you're going to have record-breaking heat interrupted by heavy flash flooding. The northern plains and Midwest, drier than average conditions, likely to settle in. So you can look forward
is
to that.
Is that me?
Yeah, you would be, I don't know, you'd be the Midwest, I guess. Yeah. So drier than average, and you are already, right? Although you had rain over the weekend.
When I go places and people are like, oh, where do you live? Like if you talk to somebody from another country or something, I just say, we live next to Texas. So I feel like that should be because everybody in the world knows where Texas is, but not everybody knows where Oklahoma is.
That's true.
So I would say just we live next to Texas.
To be honest, so, when you moved there, I had to look again at the map and go, okay, it's right there.
Yeah, me too. That's fine.
You learn that. It's so funny because I get those middle states all mixed up where they are, like Idaho. I always have to look where Idaho is. Gulf Coast and Southeast, that's us. Well, good news and bad news. Good news is when it's a super El Nino year, we have fewer hurricanes, fewer Atlantic hurricanes. So that's good. But it's also, get this, prepare for sweltering and high humidity summer. Well, is that any different than any other summer? I don't know how that's different. But and more severe storms. I didn't know this either till I researched this, that you talk, obviously you live in tornado world, but we get some here in Florida, but they're short. But the worst tornado in Florida history was 60 years ago during a super El Nino it was a category 4 that went from the Gulf Coast all the way across the state to the Atlantic, injuring 3,000 people. Yeah.
What year was that?
That right here in Florida, down Tampa, out to near Cape Canaveral, 60 years ago. I was born then, but I was only 4, so I don't remember.
I don't remember that. No. Now I know why.
But it went across this whole state. Biggest tornado in Florida history. And then the Northeast and Mid-Atlantic summers will be muggier and warmer than usual, with a higher frequency of stalled weather fronts leading to heavy afternoon downpours. Hey, Northeast, welcome to Florida. You're going to have that this year.
I'm calling BS on this because in this past year, our summer was so hot here that everybody's like, oh my God, the Farmer's Almanac is saying our winter is going to be terrible because our summer was so hot. And it's just like a yin and yang. BS. We had the like most lovely winter with like one giant cold spell, and February was beautiful. So I'm calling BS.
All right, let's revisit this in about October and we'll see how we did. Daily yeah. Winnie time.
From the podcast to the barn, here's some hidden birthday wishes to keep you warm. Hope it lasts all year long. Happy birthday, friends.
We have one auditor birthday, Catherine Banner. Happy birthday to you. We also have a brand new auditor, Becky Woolever. Thank you, Becky, for joining the party. We're glad you're here. And I think she already joined the auditor group. So we're looking forward to seeing you in there.
You heard me yell, I don't want weather anymore. I'm so tired of it. It's been dramatic. Although we did get like 4 inches of rain and my pond is almost full. So
oh, wow. That didn't take long.
It only takes one. However, the unfortunate thing was, this is not unfortunate, I got invited to dinner on Friday night. And all week long, they've been saying, oh, Friday night, the weather is going to be terrible. And I was watching the weather and I got invited to dinner by people that live here. So I thought, well, obviously they know something I don't know, because who would go out to dinner when we're expecting extreme weather?
Did you forget where you live?
Well, they're from here.
Well, that's what I mean. So, they go out to dinner anyway. They don't care.
Well, so we go to dinner and I don't get invited tons of places. So I'm like, not going to not go. And so it's one of those like Japanese, they cook the food on the table, you know?
Oh, the chop?
Yeah, the chop thing. And Lucas was excited. He'd never been. So we go and we sit down and we have dinner.
Oh, for a kid, that's so much fun.
Oh, it was all the like smoky volcano thing and throwing food in your mouth and all that stuff. Well, the problem with that is like if for some reason you want to leave, you can't because it's a freaking show that's going on right in front of you.
Yeah.
So the weather said like it was looking like 10 o'clock. So we go to dinner at 7:30. Well, turns out they didn't make a reservation. So we have to sit there for like half an hour. So it's 8 o'clock by the time we start eating, which if y'all know me, I don't leave my house like past six. So this is like a big deal for me. But again, I got invited to dinner and I should go. So we're all sitting there at the table and the guys chop, 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 you know, the things. And I'm looking at the weather and I'm like, I'm getting uncomfortable. I'm getting fairly uncomfortable with this. And nobody cares. Like the whole restaurant's packed. People are just eating like
they don't care. They're locals. They don't care.
Yeah. Well, excuse me. We're like wrapping up dinner. Everybody's eating. And everybody in the restaurant, their phone alarm goes off. Like,
in Oklahoma City, by the way?
I was in Norman. Down the street. It was actually, the restaurant's like 10 minutes from my house. So I was like, maybe 15 minutes from my house. So I was like, okay, like I can at least get home and if I need to. So everybody's phone alarms start going off in the restaurant and everybody like looks at their phone and just like casually puts it away. And I look at my phone and I'm like, oh my God, the nothing is coming. We're all about to be blown away. So Lucas is there and his friend there and they're still eating. And I'm like, hey, wrap it up. We gotta go. And I'm sitting at a restaurant with all these people that live here. And it's like, no, everybody's so casual about
that's how they know you're not from there.
So I stand up and I'm like, you guys, we got to go. And they're like, we didn't get the ice cream. And I'm like, we have ice cream at home. Get up. Get in the car. And I turned to everybody and I was like, listen, y'all, this has been lovely. Thank you so much for inviting me. I'm not from here. And all of this makes me very uncomfortable. And I'm not okay with being here. But I love you all. And thank you so much for inviting me. Get in the car. Get in the car. Okay, this has been so great. Thank you so very much. And we run out. I'm like paying. The lady's like chasing me out to give me my credit card. I almost forgot my credit card. I'm so hurried. And so we get out to the car and it is pouring down rain. And I'm like, oh my God. So we are soaked by the time we get in the car in the parking lot. And I start driving. And I'm looking. I get to a stoplight and I look at my phone and it is right above me. Like if I try and it's heading the direction of my house. And I was like, if I drive super fast, I can get out from underneath it. Mind you, it's hailing on me while I'm driving my car. So I'm on Main Street and I was like, you know what? When am I never going to get pulled over when this is right above me? So I have a green light to go 65 miles an hour in a 25 mile per hour zone because nobody is out here driving around because nobody's stupid enough to be going out to restaurants at this time, but except for all the people in the restaurant that I just left. So I'm going down Main Street like 60 miles an hour and the kids are in the back. They're just talking. They're like, we trust you. I'm like, you shouldn't because I'm freaking out. So we drive home. I mean, I am going so, and it's pouring down rain. So like driving fast and pouring down rain is not okay. Unless you know there's like a tornado right behind you. So you start driving really, really fast. So I'm driving really, really fast. I finally get up to my gate. I already brought my horses in, but I had to throw them some hay. So like I park my car next to the barn. I'm like, y'all stay in the car. And I get out and I run to the barn and I already had the hay in there ready. And I toss all the hay in and I'm like, run back out to the car. But get in. I mean, I foot slide across that front of that car like Bo Duke. I hop back in my car. We peel on up to the house. I get my car in the garage, close the garage door. Whoop, whoop. There go the alarms. There goes the tornado alarms. Like, oh my God, we just made it. Again, I look like a crazy person and I am well aware that I just peeled out of a restaurant at a nice dinner because I was the only one who did it. I was the only one who left. So we get back in the house. Alarms are going off. I've got everything shut down, everything locked. We have this little checklist that we do. The shelter's cleaned out. Turns out I turned on the news. The tornadoes were just north of us. There was like five along
the
freeway.
One hit near the college, Oklahoma City. I saw
it. Did it? Yeah. I don't want to talk about that. I don't know. So all I know is there were some, but they were a little north of us, but I could hear the sirens going off. Oh, the sirens are for the places just north of you. I don't care. That's close enough. So I've got all the kids in. And so all this weather happens. Turns out the people that I went to dinner with, they were stuck in the restaurant for another hour and a half. They could not leave because they sat there while I was smart.
Why couldn't they leave? Just because of the storm? Just
because
of
the weather. Yeah. I mean, it was insane. So they have to like shelter in place.
Oh, they sheltered in the restaurant.
Yes.
In the freezer? That seems like the safest place, I guess.
I don't know where they went. I don't know, but it was like, you know, there's like hot ovens everywhere. It just seemed like a really bad idea. So I would like to point out to all of you who were in that restaurant, if you're listening, and all of you who went to dinner with me and invited me, that a person only seems crazy when they're wrong. But if they're right, they're not crazy. Like, I'm sorry. All of you people who are from Oklahoma, you're the crazy ones. Some of us have self-preservation, and I did not have to sit in a restaurant freaking out because I couldn't leave while I was safe in my house. And again, I know I looked crazy, but you can't be crazy if you were right.
Everything okay? Good though at the farm? Everything's good?
It's great. My pond filled up. It was like we got 4 inches in like a minute.
Which you needed.
Yeah. So everything's fine. It's great. My place is beautiful. It's so green now.
I did happen to look at the radar that night right as it was hitting your place. And I went, oh, yep, there you go. And then I did hear about Oklahoma City getting one. So.
And Chad was on a trip and he's like, I'm sorry, why did you even go to dinner? I'm like, I got invited.
We'll talk about that more in the faux show. That whole life is nothing but a routine. And, you know, we do the same things all the time. You have to take advantage of those times when it's not repetitive.
Yes.
We're right after this word from Worm Flooring. We're going to speak. I cannot say Worm Flooring
word
today.
Worm.
It is hard to say. We're going to go to Natalie, who's going to tell us about a brand new book that she has out.
Ditch the mats and upgrade to Worm Flooring Systems. Is the constant struggle with heavy rubber mats getting you down? Do you crave a more durable, easy-to-clean flooring solution for your trailer, barn, or any space, commercial or residential? Worm Flooring Systems solves your problems. Say goodbye to rubber mats and say hello to Worm Flooring Systems. No more liquid seeping through to the wood or aluminum frame. Slip-resistant grip that provides a cushion comfort, extremely durable, built to last and withstand heavy machinery and constant constant use. Plus, it helps insulate the trailer. Worm Flooring Systems, the perfect choice for applications all over your horse property. We eliminate rubber mats. Visit wormflooring.com to find a dealer near you.
We all know her. I don't even think she needs an introduction. Natalie is here. She's host of Adulting with Horses, but she was actually a writer before that and has written about 150,000 books. And she just wrote another one. But I tell you what, Natalie, you are getting around for this one. I am seeing you everywhere on the social webs.
Yeah. And in person, too, especially if you're in Ohio.
Yeah, you're heading there to Equine Affair?
No, so I did a book tour sponsored by my publisher, and they're not horse people, so I went to bookstores, not to things like
not to Equine Affair.
Yeah, so I'll be at Equine Affair in Massachusetts in the fall with Heather, with our Adulting with Horses podcast booth and our books as well. I'm not going to make it to that Ohio Equine Affair once again. I'll be at Kentucky 3-day event.
Oh, wow. So you'll have books there?
Yes, I'm going to be with Mare Goods, if you're familiar with that incredible designer. We are doing a collection that is based on the characters in my novel, The Jump.
No.
So Mary was so inspired. She developed something. It's in teal and purple, mostly purple with teal accents, because those are my character's eventing colors that she has to put aside when she's a working student, because she has to represent this barn that she's riding for instead of herself. So the eventing colors are kind of a little touchstone for her. And then the horse is jumping a little cross-country barrel jump, which is from the very opening scene of the novel, when the horse absolutely will not go anywhere near that barrel jump.
I want to talk to you about the novel, but I think you've made it as a media personality. When you have a product, when you have a clothing line, first of all, and a TV series, we'll get to that at the end. But when you have those two, now you've made it, Natalie. You're in now.
That's really crazy. I never thought of it that way. not mad.
All right. So you're known for your long-running series, Eventing, and the Alex and Alexander thing and all of that. Why did you decide to do a standalone kind of story here?
Well, it had there were a couple of purposes there. One was that I was writing specifically this working student story, sort of had been in my head for a long time. You know, what happens when you sign over your life to your hero, that kind of thing. And it wouldn't have made a ton of sense with my Eventing series characters, because they're all real good guys. And I had put a lot of effort into writing, sort of good people stories about, sort of the industry as I have experienced it, like the more pleasant side of the industry as I've experienced it. And I wanted to dig into some of the many other experiences that I've had as an equestrian that I think will really ring true to people. And I just didn't feel there was a great way to involve my other characters in this right now. I can overlap in the future, because most of the book does take place in Ocala, and it's all, once again, very familiar scenes from the horse country around us. But definitely, this book needed to stand on its own as its own little piece. Industry nonsense.
You gave us a little tiny hint of the plot, but go ahead and tell us a little bit about the plot of this one, because it is different than your other ones.
Yeah, so this is about a young woman who takes a chance as a working student when she feels like her back is against the wall and she's never going to live out her horse girl dreams. She goes to work for the person that she has admired her entire life. And as they head to the Florida circuit for the winter, she is beginning to suspect that all is not right in this stable and with her trainer. And, the working student world can be very isolated. You can be very much on your own, no vehicle, no real paycheck, that kind of thing. And so she's very isolated on this farm with her fellow working students as conditions deteriorate. So it's definitely about meeting your heroes to a certain extent, but it's also just about what people face as they try to make it in the upper levels of the equestrian industry, and the choices that we make for our horses versus our careers, and whether those things are completely non-negotiable. or if we can make the right choices for both.
How long ago did you start writing this one?
I had the idea probably 5 or 6 years ago. I started actually writing it in 2024.
I was going to say, because it's so relevant in today's world, that topic, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I remember thinking about it on the Horse Lovers Cruise that I went on with you guys. And that was that in 2024? I think it was. And I was thinking about the trainer in it. And so many scandals were occurring at exactly that moment. And so many happened in the writing of it where I was like, this is so disappointingly relevant to my book.
I don't know what that says about the cruise, Jamie, that she went on it and started thinking about this kind of stuff.
I spent a lot of time in a lounge chair just thinking.
Yeah, you guys did spend a lot of time in a lounge chair. You know, that leads me to my next question is, what is your process for writing? What, you know, everybody has a different process. We've asked Lisa this in the past and a lot of different authors, but how do you go about it? Do you have an outline of the entire thing from beginning to end and then fill in the blanks, or you just go with the flow or what?
Yeah, mostly go with the flow. So I write a synopsis, which is like 1 or 2 pages of what I think I want the book to do. And so it's, you know, it's like having a very vague map, like a map that you kind of scribble in crayon, and absolutely nothing is set in stone. I know some people can write an outline and go, today I will write this chapter. And they put their finger on the little spot in their outline that says exactly what they can write. And I just don't have that. It takes me usually a couple of attempts at the first, like 2/3 of the book before I really feel like I've dialed into my characters and their motivation. And I can say things like, my character would never do that, or my character would react this way. Like, I really have to dig into their personalities and draw them out as people. And I believe that some people can do that like in prep work, but I find for me, I just have to discover it. And so it can take a couple of months before I can say, I have a draft that is the complete and total book, start to finish.
Well, so you'll get later in the book and discover and go, oh, this person would do that, but that makes no sense with what I wrote before. And you go back and rewrite the before.
Yeah, absolutely. Because I'll find something that suddenly makes sense. Like something about them will click and I'll say, oh, and if they had done this here and if they had done that there, this would all work. And so depending on my energy level, I'll either go back and rewrite it, or if I'm smart, I'll make a note and get back to it later, but I'm not always smart, you know.
so a lot of writers go ahead. Sorry.
I was just going to say every book really is its own monster. And sometimes they click sooner and sometimes later. And sometimes I have a better idea. And sometimes I have no idea what the ending will be. It's really just each book on its own.
Do you have a certain time of day you write? Like, do you have to have a glass of wine in your hand, or you write at midnight, or your first thing in the morning person, or coffee or whatever? Yeah.
No. I don't believe in setting up rituals for writing. I think that is a bad practice because then you will get dependent on it. And you have to be able to write where you are, especially if you have a full-time job or if you have a deadline or something like that. My favorite time right now to write is like between 2:30 and 4:30. It's just working for me right now. I make an espresso.
I was going to say, that's my nap time. I'd need an espresso.
Yeah. It used to be my nap time. And then I was like, well, the house is so quiet and nothing's ever happening. And I kind of like the light in my house this time of day. And it just seemed like a shame to waste it. So I started writing instead. And I'm liking it. You can have a snack. I like a snack. and then I go outside, you know, and play with my horses for a while. So
I know a couple people have read the book so far, and it's getting rave reviews so far. I haven't found anybody that said they, you know, a lot of people couldn't put it down. So good job. Well done.
Thank you. Yeah. Thanks so much.
You must be hearing the same thing about this one. Is it different what you're hearing about this one than from what you heard about the others?
Yeah, it is, because, you know, I think a lot of the other ones, they shine a light on certain things, but a lot of them they're meant to be good stories. You're like, ooh, I could have put that down. What a story. So much fun. And this one is getting a lot of attention because, you know, I do talk about things like trainer scandals and gaslighting and social license. I think those are all really important. And it's not like, you know, a sermon about these things.
Well,
but
I
these
did,
things are woven into the narrative.
I did ask somebody that read it whether it was preachy, and she said no. So she agrees. You did well then.
Thank you. Yeah, I would hopefully never preach. That is so not in my DNA.
I didn't see you writing a preachy book either.
That's not me. No. I usually have to add in higher stakes as I go because I fall for my characters and I don't really want to beat them up. And everyone who has ever edited my work has noticed that about me. They're like, you know, you need to push this person further. But they're so nice. They don't.
Were you
hoping their day?
With this one being so different, were you hoping to leave readers with a takeaway message?
Yeah, definitely. I really do want people to think about, you know, the role of empathy specifically in training horses and dealing with horses. And, you know, I think that we have made these incredible gains with positive reinforcement and liberty training, and all of these things are making their way into competitive sports that previously, you know, trainers might not have seen a use for them. You know, I work and speak with trainers like Kick Maynard, who helps me out on my book tour, and Chelsea Kennedy, you know, people who are integrating things that were not part of competitive sport just a few years ago. And so I think we're on the verge of something really great for horses. And so I want to help that along.
Nobody's happier to hear that than Jamie.
I love it.
And last time we had you on, we talked about your eventing series had been picked up for a TV series. And I haven't heard anything lately, and I hope it's still on. Please tell me it's still continuing anyway.
It's absolutely still continuing.
Yay.
Yeah. And so it was in a process, and then that process sort of wasn't working with, you know, processes. And so we're trying a new process and we're really excited about it. So hopefully I will have some actual news to share soon, but I have gotten some inside news that it made me, you know, kick my feet, as they say.
Yay.
So it's definitely still in development and we're really looking forward to making it.
That's terrific. And I saw Lisa announced yesterday, I don't know if you saw it, but they've hired the cast. They've hired makeup and hair consultants, and they have a date of May 2nd when they're all going to arrive in Lexington. So it looks like
that's so exciting.
Yeah. So it looks like shooting for her movie is going to begin May 2nd. Are you going to go to the filming that day?
I think if it's part of activities with American Horse Publications.
It's the day, it's the like the Thursday before it starts. So we're all going in the morning. And what they're filming is a press conference. So it's perfect. So it's perfect. We can all be at a press conference.
Oh, my favorite thing.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, congratulations on that. I'm glad it's still going. I'm so excited for both of you, actually. It's just so cool that we know both of you. It's like,
thanks.
It's so neat. And congratulations on your success. And I know you wrote a lot of books to get to the point where you have a clothing line and a TV series. So, do you know where they're set up? Jamie and a whole bunch of our listeners are going to Kentucky. Are they set up in the main building? Do you know with all the vendors?
We will be in the indoor arena.
Okay.
Right. We're in the trade fair and the indoor arena. So, and we're usually down on the floor.
Okay.
I don't think there'll be any change from that. And
they can buy a book there, get it signed by you, all of that stuff.
Yep, definitely. I'll have the jump and I will have the eventing series with me as well.
Okay. If they're not going, where do they go to buy the book?
Any bookstore. You can find the jump in Barnes & Noble and a lot of independent bookstores right now on the shelf. So you can walk in and buy it, which is super fun. And you can get them online. And my publisher added the jump to Kindle Unlimited as well, which was something that I did not know. So you can actually read it with your Kindle Unlimited subscription. You can listen to an audiobook. You can ask your library to carry it. There's like...
Oh, is the audiobook out already?
What's that?
Is the audiobook out already?
Yeah, the audiobook came out the same day.
Oh, wow. That's unusual. Usually it's much later.
Yeah, it was being recorded back in the fall.
Did you do the recording?
Wrong, Glenn.
Did you record it?
No. Fiction should really be read by a voice actor.
Yeah, I'm not arguing with you there. We've all heard books that are read by the author that we absolutely loved, and then ones that's like, oh, they should have hired somebody.
if it was a memoir, I would read it. The audiobook reviews were absolutely stunning. Like the minute they started coming in, people are saying, this is so good. They love the actor who did the voice. So yeah, the audiobook is definitely a good experience.
Well, you can find, I'll put a link to it in the show notes as well. Thank you, Natalie, for joining us, and congratulations again. And I guess you'll see Jamie in a couple of weeks.
Yep. I'll pop by.
Wonderful. I can't wait.
Well, Jamie, we put out our first batch of fly predators last week. Spalding is one of our terrific sponsors and also a sister company of ours. And you've heard us talk about fly predators many times. Have you put yours out? Have they hatched?
They did hatch, my little friends. I treat them like with the utmost respect. And I release individuals in the stalls. I try to get like the right amount. I mean, I am so weird about it.
Jennifer just kind of throws them out there.
No, they're my friends. You pull open the container, you dump them all. There's like a couple bugs that are still stuck to the, you know, they're like hanging out in the plastic. And I have to like sit down on the ground and I peel it open and I'm like, go, friends. And I blow them off into the, yeah, it's a big deal.
They all drowned this weekend, but you know.
They were in the stalls, Glenn.
Oh, why do flies not drown in the wild? Why do bugs not drown? I don't know. Anyway, we have a coupon code now for you, HRN10. If you're looking at getting your first batch of Spalding Fly Predators, then that'll get you 10% off, HRN10.
Usually the coupon codes are HRN, so the add 10 because it's 10% off.
This is a little bit different, yep. So it's now's the time. If you're going to get your first batch, take a look at it. They'll guide you through how many you need and all that stuff. They walk you through everything. They're very good about that. They also have this PDF file on fly control and what to do about fly control. And this isn't just Spalding, but other things as well. And you can download that. I'll put a link to that in the show notes. It's the fly control.
You too will be super excited to open your mailbox and find bugs.
Yes.
I'm like, my bugs are here.
Yes, I do. I'm that way every time too. I don't know why. I don't know why those little things excite me, but they do. All right. So HRN10, Spalding Fly Predators. Just Google that, or I'll put a link in the show notes. Well, the first presidential motorcade was actually on horseback, held April 6, 1789, when the electoral votes were officially counted and a messenger was dispatched to Mount Vernon to let George Washington know he was elected. They didn't have TV back then. He needed to head to New York immediately. Upon receiving the news, Washington spent the next several days preparing his stables and all, apparently had quite an entourage. He was famously protective of his horses, especially his white horse, Prescott, and his chestnut Blueskin. He brought them, but also coordinated a slew of horses along the way to ride to keep changing mounts. He wanted to ensure that he and his horses arrived in New York City looking presidential rather than travel-worn.
Disheveled?
Yeah. So apparently this was a whole big deal. It was a whole caravan of people. So they officially called that the first presidential motorcade. I keep forgetting I have this.
There you go.
On April 5th, 1870, the Great Horse Recovery happened. On the Texas frontier, the spring was horse stealing season, as various tribes and outlaws looked to replenish their mounts for the summer. On April 5th of 1870, a legendary skirmish occurred involving the Texas Rangers. A group of raiders made off with dozens of settlers' horses. The Rangers engaged in a multi-day pursuit that culminated on this date. They successfully rounded up the livestock. In total, they recovered 40 to 50 horses and mules, and the robbers escaped to rob another day. But it became known as the Great Horse Recovery. The Texas Rangers, they just have this thing. You talk about, and it's not just because of the TV show, but I mean, you always think the Texas Rangers are always going to get their guy. You know, they're the ones, they're the competent ones.
They're the scary ones. Yeah. They're the ones in Elf, like, you know, the Central Park Rangers, anything with a ranger after it.
That's true. Intense. That's true. The Army Rangers, they're also scary. I mean, there you go. Okay, we're going to set Jamie off again.
Oh, Lord.
I put this one in and I went, oh, no, here we go. Are you ready? Ready? Take a deep breath. On April 7th, 1970, a filly named Ruffian was born at Claiborne Farm in Kentucky. Undefeated in 10 races, in every single race she finished, Ruffian was in the lead at every single pole. She never trailed another horse at any point in any race. She frequently won by 10, 12, or even 15 lengths.
Let's just take a moment. Because this story makes me... Have you seen this movie, Glenn? There's a movie about Ruffian.
Yes.
And I mean to tell you, I don't think I've seen anything as sad since Farlap or Where the Red Fern Grows. Like those three things, and Old Yeller. Farlap, Old Yeller, Where the Red Fern Grows, and Ruffian, all four of those buckets of tears.
She set or equaled a new stakes race in all eight of the stakes races she won.
So she holds all the records. She couldn't be beat.
And, the reason I added this in here is because there are younger listeners that listen to this show may not know the story, but we're not going to go into the complete story. You can watch the movie but have a box of tissues. And Ruffian did die during a race, but it was unique. Why was it unique? Because it was a match race. I don't know if they've done match races since then.
That's not very common.
No, July 6th of 1975, and for those that aren't racing fans, match race is two horses pitted against each other, and she broke down during this match race, and they had to put her down. But it was against the Kentucky Derby winner, Foolish Pleasure, during the match race at Belmont Park.
So a lot of people called for match races between Zenyatta and Rachel Alexandra, because they were both supermares, but they ran totally different. And I just remember hearing, like, why don't they do a match race between Zenyatta and Rachel Alexandra? And they said, because neither one of these mares deserves to have their heart broken. Mm. I was like, oh, that's so good.
Okay. Dang it. And that's it. For a question, or for a question, first world problem. That's
first
it.
World history stuff. And by the way, I Googled how far it is from Mount Vernon to New York City.
Yeah, by horseback.
From Mount Vernon, it's 122 miles, but that's on the freeway. So yeah. I don't know.
Took a few days by horseback with a whole caravan of horses. Now let's do a question, first world problems.
It's time for the weekly look at your equestrian first world problems.
This ought to be good.
It's not weekly anymore, it's monthly, but this guy retired and I just want something that has his voice on the bumpers anymore. 10 years we used them and then he retired. So
no,
here we are. Explain what first world problems are.
So equestrian first world problems is something that we put in the Auditor Facebook page on Sundays and ask you what is going on in your life that could be considered an equestrian first world problem. But I want you to remember that if you are having a problem involved with horses, that is first world, because that's just how it is. So I want to appreciate everybody for submitting and admitting their personal issues. And if you want to participate in this, you have to become an auditor. Glenn, how do they do that?
Go to horseradionetwork.com, scroll down to the middle of the page. You'll see a place where it says become an auditor and click on that. And for as little as $3 a month, you too can join, just like Becky did last week.
And we're going to start with Becky's as well, because Becky jumped right in.
Becky.
She understands the assignment. All right. She says, when you don't have enough this is an equestrian first world problem. When you don't have enough vacation time left, so you have to call in sick for a few days to attend the Kentucky 3-day. But then you have to wait to post about all the fun you're having in Kentucky because your coworkers are your friends on Facebook. What are you doing, Becky?
We have all done that. We have all done things where we could not post them because somebody would find out.
Yep, that's true.
It's either family or employment. It's one of those two reasons you don't post.
But Nicholas says, when you had the best weekend watching a lot of the event horses who are aiming to go to badminton fly around the 4-star at Thorsby, but you know tomorrow that you need to go and hit the real world and go back to work, even though Easter Monday is a holiday here in England.
we have Friday, they have Monday. Huh, that's interesting.
I didn't get Friday. That's a bunch of bull.
It's funny how that works when you work for yourself.
I know. Amanda sent in the next one. I was waiting for the bumper, but that's weird news. Yeah. Okay. Amanda says, I am so excited to be going to Equine and Fair in Ohio. I mean, I don't know if you sound like that. It's just what it sounds like in my head. But I like don't have my own horse right now, so I don't need to buy anything.
When has that ever stopped a horse girl? Tell me. That has never stopped a horse girl from buying stuff.
You're going to have a horse someday. You're going to need at least brushes, some boots. You know, like there's things you can buy without specifying the horse. So let's be real.
I think it's a requirement when you go to Equine Fair. You have to spend hundreds of dollars. It's just a requirement. It's just part of the admission fee.
Same for Kentucky Through Day. Yeah. Like, it's just all shop. Ariel says, my gelding finally has been back to work in preparation for the show season. But now, as we're getting ready to sign up for an event, what does he do, Glenn? He comes up lame.
Of course.
It's like they know you've sent your entry in. And they're like, hold on. Did she hit that little flag on the mailbox there? Oh, my leg.
Jennifer was finally getting somewhere with James. And on Friday, he was three-legged. Like, back leg not using it at all.
Abscess?
We weren't sure. So, you know, call the vet. And the vet didn't come out, but said, do this, do the, give him drugs, whatever. And 2 days later, he's fine. So it must have just been a pulled muscle.
When I it's like, what did she
say? Oh, it's a front leg. Sorry, I got it wrong.
Obviously.
I'm a horse husband. I don't know which leg. It was just, he was lame and it was going to cost a vet bill.
At some point in life, I've started to treat my lame horses like I treat myself, which is if I'm still lame after 3 days, I'll see a doctor.
That's what the vet told her. That's exactly what the vet said.
Really?
Yeah, call me tomorrow if he's still lame. It's exactly what the vet said. Because we've had this before and has been pulled muscles. They do that. So,
yeah. That's it. It's like, if I'm not going to the doctor after 5 minutes, neither are you.
That seemed like the least expensive option, which didn't make any sense to me because it's never the least expensive option that happens.
Do you know what's really terrible is let's be real. I'm fairly knowledgeable about horses and horse care, but if a horse is lame on the back leg and I'm like, oh my God, his leg is broken. You know, it's obviously an abscess, but I'm like, oh my God, his leg is broken. Okay. I'm going to wait till tomorrow because if it actually is broken, when he goes to sleep tonight, he can't get up tomorrow. So I'm going
to
wait till that. What?
I said, well, let's see after he lays down if he can get back up. That's what I said.
If they can't get back up, you couldn't do anything anyway. I'm going to hell. Sorry. Send your emails to Jennifer at Horse.
Oh, I don't think anybody's ever going to accuse you of not spending enough at the vet.
By the way, Homer's getting his stitches out today. He's going back to be rechecked. Okay, it's fine. Elizabeth says, spring is... Thank you very much, by the way. That made me feel better because everybody knows I'm a bucket of money to my vets. Like, I have multiple vets at this point. Elizabeth said, spring has arrived in the South and it's perfect for riding, but the spring rush is on in the office and I have too much work to do. What are you doing, Elizabeth? Obviously, we ride first and work second. Just kidding. Don't do that. But yes, that sucks.
She might be an accountant. It's that time of year. We're coming up to the deadline.
I bet she is. Yeah. I bet she is. Yeah. Adrian says, my horse crushed another bucket and I have to go to the feed store out of my town to get her a replacement in the same color.
Of course.
And there's a photo of said squished bucket.
Okay. Yes, that person, who was it? Elizabeth? She Adrian. Gets first world problem. A question first. Yeah. World. She gets that.
I mean, obviously, and it's like a really cute teal color. And obviously you can't have like teal and like red. That would be gross.
They have like a dozen colors of buckets now. It used to be black. You had black buckets. That was it.
I just want dark green. And you know what? Dark green is nowhere now.
They have a lighter green, but not a darker green. Yeah.
Just annoying. Alexis says, I did an overhaul. I did an overhaul on my horse's diet, but now her coat is too shiny and she looks fake in pictures.
She is the real AI horse.
Alexis had a second one too, and I felt obliged to include this one because she said my horse finally learned how to pee off, but like a little judgmentally. She'll do it, but she's judging you. Robin says,
"We got some intellectual ones today, so what do you have to think about?"
This one's fantastic too. A couple more. Robin says, "My barn aisle is so long that like you can't understand anyone when they talk to you from the other end because there's such a big echo."
Who was that, Robin?
Robin.
Okay, Robin, you need to record it. We need to hear it. Record it on your phone and send it to us. We need to hear the echo.
Oh, and you know, to be fair, like you have to yell when people are that far away.
Yes.
I mean, I don't know what that's like.
Yeah, but we never had a big enough barn.
And Jessica says, "I found a horse that ticks all the boxes, but it's like too far away to go try. And so I'm seriously debating hopping on a same day flight in and out to go look at it, but I can't decide." Listen, I hopped a flight the next day to go to Austin to look at a horse, and I hopped a flight the next day to go to Bakersfield. However, I do fly for free, so take that into consideration. But I will full on, I would have paid for it. And I would have lost so much. I would have been so pissed.
Oh, Jessica doesn't have a problem, I don't think, paying for it. I know this, Jessica. She don't have a problem paying for it. She's trying to justify it in her own brain. And I really think she wants somebody to go with her, so you should meet her there.
Jessica, yeah, that would be awesome. To justify it in my brain, like flying, because I went to Austin and it was one horse and I kind of got burned, you know, that whole nightmare. So when I was flying to Bakersfield, I made sure there was more than one for me to look at. And I think this is a sales barn you found this horse at. So there should be more than one. It's like a free flight because you're looking at all the horses at once.
There you go. That's perfect. There you go, Jessica. Catch the plane tomorrow. And she lives not too far from the airport. She shouldn't have any problem with this.
Piece of cake. It'll be fine.
Yeah.
Katie said, "I seeded my left pasture last fall, and now it's beautiful. It's so pretty. But I don't want to put my horses on it."
I get that, though. I really do get that. We had one spot of the farm that hadn't been dug up by horses running around, and Jennifer wanted to fence it in. I was like, "Oh, it's the only spot I don't go bumpy bump when I mow it."
Bumpy bump. That is a scientific term.
It is.
It's no bumpy bump.
It is.
And then last one, Kelly said, "This year, I really wanted to go to see Road to the Horse live to see my favorite, Elisa. And I wanted to go to my first Kentucky 3-day. And I want to go to the World Cup. But it's like all right before I'm getting married. And I have so much to do. And I'm already going on the Horse Lovers Cruise."
Oh, I was going to say, we are seeing her on the cruise.
She said, "I'm broke with no more time off. Why can't I do it all?"
I think I just emailed her.
Well, you know what sucks about this World Cup thing? So I'm supposed to go this weekend, right?
Yeah.
But they are saying that Saturday and Sunday here in Norman, so what Larissa and I decided to do is we're going to drive down Saturday morning and drive back Sunday. There's supposed to be inclement weather on Saturday and Sunday here, which means I'm driving through it on the way down and through it on the way back up. And then I have to, poor Ginger, I have to rely on her to take care of my horses, which is like high stress during these storms. And I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do because I feel
and
like
as we learned at the beginning of the show, all you'll do is sit there and think about being home.
Exactly. So I feel like I learned a lesson this past weekend and I'm like throwing it out the window.
Did you already pay for the tickets and everything?
It's not important. I don't want to talk about it. It's fine.
You could probably find somebody that would take them.
I got media credentials for me. Are you kidding me? So then if I don't pick up my media credentials, they're going to be pissed and not give me media credentials for first world equestrian problem. Oh my God. I might not be able to go. And then I won't be able to get press passes anymore because I didn't take them up on the ones that I already did get. Oh my God.
On that note, we're going to wrap today up. We will be back here on Wednesday. So we need some weird news. Send it to weirdnews@horseradionetwork.com. And I did want to also say we have the American Horse Council tomorrow. It's the first Tuesday first Tuesday of the month. So that'll be tomorrow. For my NCIS fans, and I know they're out there because we've had a bunch of conversations about this in the auditor room, check out their podcast. I got to start listening to it. It's called Partners and Probies. It's hosted by Jimmy and Casey. It's really good. And they interview the cast and you hear all the behind the scenes stuff you never heard before. It's really good. So NCIS fans, check out the podcast Partners and Probies. Auditors, hang on. we're going to talk about something that hit me over the weekend, not physically, mentally.
Right. Yeah, hit by a car. All right, everybody, spay, neuter, gelds.